Random Jottings of Hinge and Bracket with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Bracket. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle in The Coleman Cometh.
Winter in Stacton Trestle can be a delightful time. There's nothing I enjoy more than a walk to the park on a fine crisp morning when the pond is frozen over and the skaters are out. Oh, I love to watch them skate. Evadne, of course, prefers to see them fall through the ice. She practically wills it, standing there in her balaclava helmet and her home guard mittens, with her face set like a frosted door knocker. Or, of course, we may feed the ducks. Mind you, they tend not to come too close if Evadne's with me. I don't think they like being hit on the head by huge chunks of stale toast. And Evadne can be a bit of an embarrassment on these winter walks. I've caught her before now, throwing a willful snowball at some unsuspecting child. But the nicest part is returning to the welcoming chintzy warmth of the old man. When we throw open the drawing room door and rush toward our armchairs beside the blazing fire. Though, sometimes, things do go wrong. Evadne, this fire's out.
Are you sure?
Well, what does it look like to you?
Looks as though it's out.
There you are, then.
What has Maud done to it?
Well, she's obviously banked it up, dear, just before she went out, so it would still be in when we got back.
Only it isn't, is it?
No, it isn't.
Wouldn't you think that stupid woman would have learned by now how to bank up a fire? I mean, she's tipped enough damp slack on that to extinguish a blast furnace. I'll give it a bit of a rake, shall I? You never know. There may be a spark of life somewhere underneath.
Mm, it looks awfully dead to me.
And if it isn't, it will be by the time you've finished with it.
Oh, stop it, Evadne. You have to coax them, dear. A fire is a living thing.
Well, if you want to coax it, you coax it. Here, you'll need the poker.
There's no need to get huffy. How would you feel if somebody found you at death's door, and instead of giving you the kiss of life, they started prodding you with a poker?
About what I'd expect.
Probably what you'd get as well.
Have to be a brave soul who'd give you the kiss of life. You'd probably come round and stun them with your handbag.
Well, that's why you keep that horseshoe in it, isn't it?
You do walk along, don't you?
I say, Evadne, it shows how cold it is in here. I can see my breath.
Well, perhaps you wouldn't be able to if you didn't talk so much. Anyway, for all your rudeness, I don't seem to have done that fire much harm. I think I can see a wee bit of red.
Where?
There.
What, there?
That's a bit of red, isn't it?
Well, it is, but it's an old sweet paper.
There, then. Ah, what's that? Definitely a glow.
Well, I think you're right. Yes, it is.
There you are, then. A triumph for poker power.
But now we really do have to coax it. Here, use the bellows now.
Well, there's old things.
Oh, just look who's talking. Now, gently, Evadne, gently. You're not pumping the organ at the Chapel Royal. And we don't want coal dust all over the carpet. Well, you're going to have to put a bit more effort into it than that.
Honestly.
Go on, Evadne. You're not making the slightest bit of difference.
Hilda, these things are useless. They're full of holes. And most of the air is going straight into my face.
Yes, that's looking nice and red.
It comes out practically everywhere except where it's meant to.
Well, those bellows are antiques, dear. They're not meant to be used.
Then why suggest using them?
Well, I wouldn't have done had we had a more modern pair. But after all, dear, this is not a blacksmith shop. I tell you what, we'll have to try the old paper and puff trick. I'll hold a sheet of paper up and you get down and puff. Pass the newspaper, will you?
Why, in heaven's name, couldn't Maud have waited in until we got back?
You know very well, dear. She had to be at the doctor's for 10:30. That face of hers looked rather nasty.
I've never done it, and it didn't.
You can be so uncharitable, Abatney. Those cold sores can be very uncomfortable, and you should know. She's lucky she doesn't get them where you do. I've got my sheet of paper, so get down on your hands and knees and blow.
I'll kill that woman when she gets back.
If you don't get down on your hands and knees and start blowing, we'll probably be frozen solid when she gets back.
Well, you might be, standing about doing nothing. But I shan't. I'm already as warm as toast.
Well, there you are, then. What are you grizzling about? Now start blowing. Is that me?
What now?
You sound like Dr. Doolittle arguing with a camel. It wants a long, gentle draught, dear. You take a deep, deep breath, and then you let it out slowly, steady stream, like this.
Have you finished?
Yes, that's the lot.
Well, thank goodness for that. You must have lungs like Lilo's.
My training, dear. It's the basic requirement of a good singer. Large lungs. Now, it's your turn. Though, of course, I do realize that it's not quite so easy when one's musical education has been limited to the piano and banjo.
Hey, do shut up,
Right, now, just do as I say. Take a deep, deep breath. And hold it while I get this newspaper right. Now, hold it, Abatley. Hold it, not yet, dear. No, just a tiny bit longer, dear. Hold it, we're nearly ready. Hilda! Oh, Abatley, you've let it all go. And you really can't afford to waste it, you know, not at your age. Oh, but I think you might have done the trick. I think I can see a flicker. Yes, and I think I can hear flames.
I'm not surprised. The bottom of your newspaper's alight.
Oh, Abatley. Oh, quick, get me some water here. Grab that vase.
You let it go, Hilda. Just let it go.
Oh, heavens, it's shot right up the chimney. Oh, I do hope it doesn't land in somebody's garden. Thank goodness I used the Times. Well, I think the fire's going now, yeah. Oh, but all right. Have a look in the scuttle, dear, and see if you can find some nice small lumps of coal.
The scuttle's empty.
What?
Well, the only thing in here, apart from coal dust, is a note scrawled in Maud's fair hand.
A note in the coal scuttle? What does it say?
No coal.
Oh, well, let's brief and to the point.
She must have thought we wouldn't notice. I'd better fetch the standby bucket from outside the garden door.
It's handy having that standby bucket out there, isn't it?
It would be even handier if it had coal in it.
Oh, that's not empty as well.
Apart from another note reading, no coal.
Oh, well, then, I'm afraid it looks like a trip to the coal shed for you, dear.
No point. I can see from here that the note pinned to the door.
Don't tell me. No coal. How does it happen?
It happens because Maud never thinks to tell us when we're getting low, that's how. Shall I make briquettes?
Oh, no, dear, not again. We had those for lunch yesterday.
Coal briquettes, Hilda?
Certainly not. The last time you made coal briquettes, this room was so full of smoke we could have charged people to hang their haddocks in it. No, that needs lumps or nothing. I'm going to get straight onto that coal merchant of ours. What's his number?
Which in the address book. Under coal merchant.
Can't life sometimes be blissfully simple?
Well, I organize it, yes.
Ah, here it is. It's Stacton 462. You know, I'm sure the coal doesn't go anything like as far as it used to. Not since we've had this new coalman. I wouldn't be surprised if he was diddling us. Oh, it's ringing. Oh, no, it's one of those awful answering machines. Hello? This is Dame Hilda Brackett speaking from the old nets.
Did it say it was hard of hearing?
It told me to speak clearly, Abatney, and that's exactly what I'm doing.
Well, I'd speak normally if I were you, Hilda. You don't want them thinking you're half-witted.
No, right? Oh, very well. Hello? Are you still there? Oh, I do hate these things. They're so solemn. Yeah. Mm. I would like to order a ton of coal. And I do mean a ton. And I want it today and as soon as possible. I share this house with a very old lady. No offense, dear, but one has to use all means. Mind, I expect Maud will bring a bag or two of that pre-packed coal back with her, just to tide us over.
If she had any decency, she'd bring half a hundredweight. I mean, she could borrow a supermarket trolley or steal some child's toboggan.
Just because there's children in the park nearly ran you down, and it was your own fault, you shouldn't have knocked the head off their snowman.
How was I supposed to know they were up on the rise watching me? Nasty, suspicious little brats. Now, what are we going to do while we're waiting for someone to arrive with coal?
Well, we can either put our overcoats back on and go for a run, or we can sing a lively song so that you can stamp your feet and I can jump up and down.
I'll settle for the song. What do you want? Knees up, Mother Brown?
No, I do not. I would like something with a modicum of dignity. Here, say, what about this one? To remind us of the park, it's called Keep Off the Grass. Now, that's really what you should have shouted at those children with toboggans.
Oh, come along, Hilda. Do let's sing. I'm beginning to lose all feeling in my extremities.
I say, that sounds rather nasty. Especially as you never have much anywhere else. Right, dear, come the way. When the children go to play in summer time, they will frolic all the day. The trees they'll climb, round the garden they will ring with joyful cheers, till the gardener gives chink and pulls their ears. Hi, little boys, hi, little boys, hi, take care now. Keep off the grass. Keep off the grass. Conduct like this I could pardon. Bless your ears. But if you please, keep off the grass in the garden. Keep off the grass. Keep off the grass. Conduct like this I will pardon. Bless your ears. But if you please, keep off the grass in the garden. Now it's very much the same when boys grow up, but they play their racing game for plate or cup. On the turf they love to meet and bet so high, till the certainty gets beat and then goodbye. Hi, little boys, hi, little boys, hi, take care now. Keep off the grass. Keep off the grass. Conduct like this I was pardoned. Bless your knees. But if you please, keep off the grass in the garden. Keep off the grass. Keep off the grass. Plunge in your pocket one pardon. Well, that seems to have got the blood circulating again.
Let's hope it hasn't sent it all rushing to your head.
Oh, that'll be Maud now.
Maud? Have you got any coal with you?
As a matter of fact, I have, Doctor.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
You see, Evadnish is not set off.
Here you are, Doctor. In the handbag. There, one lump of coal. With a coal man's compliments.
One lump? Is that all?
Well, I ran off before he could chuck another at me.
So you have seen the Coleman then, have you, Maud?
Seen him? Should say I have seen him. I'm sick and tired of seeing him. And he's getting pretty sick of seeing me and all.
That's not hard to understand.
See, I pops in to see him on my way to the doctor's, and I catches him just as he's pulling out of his yard. So I leaps out in front of his lorry, and I sticks me hands up, and I shouts, "Stop!"
Oh, I do wish you wouldn't do things like that, Maud. He might have knocked you down.
Must have been a great temptation.
Still, we can see you're all right, dear. So he obviously stopped. Or did you just jump out of the way?
Oh, he stopped all right, eh, Milder? You should have seen him judder to an halt. Well, you know how sharp it were when I tell you, as half his load shot straight off of the back. So I thought I'd best let him cool down a bit, afore I suggested very humbly-like, that seeing as he were having to reload, he might like to load a ton for us.
And how did he take that suggestion?
None too happily, I'm afraid. Though I couldn't tell you precisely what he said. Because being a lady, I put my hands over me ears.
It might be more sensible if you put them over your mouth.
Exactly. Carry on, Maud, dear.
Well, when I'd done with the coal man, I popped along to see the doctor. But I were too late for him, he'd gone. So I popped back to the coal yard to see if the coalman had. And he hadn't. Still shoveling he were. And he weren't half rude when I asked him for a lift. Chased me off, he did. Tried to set his dog on me. But I chucked at the bit of liver I bought for my Arthur. And I got over the railway side then.
And where do you think our coal might be now, then, Maud?
It's just a few doors down the road, dear doctor. Well, it were when I came by. It were when I tells him to get a move on with it as he chucks that lump of coal at me.
Well, I suppose it'll pay for the liver. You'd better pop it back in your bag and take it home to Arthur. And you didn't see the doctor after all, then, Maud?
No, Dame Elder, I didn't.
Yet your face looks so much better than it did.
Well, you can't beat fresh air and exercise. And I've already had plenty of both this morning, being chased about by that coal man.
You know, next time you get your coal sores at Abney, I think I'll ask him to chase you. Mind you, I'd probably have to slip him a fiver.
Ah, talk of the devil. Now, that's the coalman. Coming up the drive now. If I were you, I'd run again, Maud. He's got his dog in the cab with him.
Now, Maud, just before you go there, I rather fancy this new man's been diddling us there. So I think this time we'd better count the bags into the shed, all three of us. Then we'll have three independent witnesses. So if I watch from the garden door, Abney, you can watch from the front window. And Maud, you can watch from the kitchen window there. Only don't make it obvious that we're watching. We don't want him to know. Try to make it look as though you're working.
You think you'll be able to manage that, Maud, without too much strain?
You just jolly well bet I will, Doctor. There's nothing I'd like better than to catch that man diddling.
Oh!
Right, action stations, everybody.
We've got a ton of coal here, Mrs. Where do you want it?
Would the coal shed be asking too much?
You can have it in your back bedroom if you like. Just don't ask me to carry it up. Sure, you don't half get through this stuff, don't you?
That's just what we were thinking.
What do you do with it? Eat it for breakfast?
We can't afford to, the price it is these days.
No, the doctor has to get a roughage at the pet shop now, don't you, dear? And we still wonder where all that coal goes.
But you ain't got a lock on your coal shed, have you? Probably find you're eating half the houses in the area. And then there's that woman you've got. She's probably got her hands in it and all.
And what makes you think that?
Have you seen her fingernails? I darn near ran her over this morning. Next time I will. So if I was you, I'd order your coal yourself in future.
Oh, that reminds me. There's a message on that machine of yours.
Not from her.
No, dear, no from me, but you can ignore it.
Oh, I probably would have done anyway. I never seem to get time to sit down and listen to that darn thing. Well, not during the winter anyway. Well, I suppose I'd better start moving it.
One thing when you were going to.
Right. See you later.
Right, you've had any?
Now, can you see him fetching them off the cart?
Yes, I can.
Good. Well, I'll see him round as far as the rockery. And, Maud, you should be able to see him into the shed, though we've got him covered.
Here comes the first one, Hilda.
Maud, are you ready, dear?
Ready, Dame Elder.
Well, here comes the first one. Where is he now, Daphne? I can't see him.
Well, had you been looking out of your window instead of shouting at Maud, you would have done. He's just gone past you. Now, I suggest we all concentrate on watching our windows and counting sacks in total silence.
Right there. Oh, look! He's dropped a lump. A large lump. He'll probably pick that up on his way back and hide it on his cart somewhere. Just supposing he does that every time, how much would that add up to?
Well, at a quick calculation, I'd say 20 lumps. Now, will you concentrate?
I am concentrating, Evadne. But I'm going to nip out and pick that lump up. He didn't think he's putting one over on me.
That's the lot, Hilda. He's driving away.
There you are, then. What did I tell you? He's diddling us. 19 sacks, right?
No, 20.
What? I only counted 19.
I counted 20.
Oh, well, that's why it was such a good idea of mine to have the three of us doing it.
I say, Dame Mildred, is that man gone?
Yes, he has, Maud, dear. And how many did you make it?
16.
16?
Yes, 16 does seem a little low.
Low? It puts that Coleman in the great train robber class.
Well, I'd not really like to have to swear to it, Dame Elder. I was so busy trying to make myself look busy that I suppose I might have missed a sack or two.
So where does that leave us then, Hilda?
It leaves us one sack short, dear, that's where.
It does no such thing. He definitely left us 20 sacks.
If only it's 2-1 again.
Yes. And of those two, one can't concentrate and the other one can't count.
Still looking on the bright side, however much we haven't got, at least we have got some. So I'll get that fire going now, Dame Mildred.
No one is to touch a lump. Not until we've weighed it.
Weighed what, Hilda?
The coal, of course. The delivery. Well, how else are we going to find out if it's short?
And what are you proposing to weigh it with?
We've got scales, haven't we?
Hilda, how are we going to weigh a ton of coal on kitchen scales that only go up to 10 pounds?
I would have thought that was obvious, dear. In very small amounts.
There's a lovely big weighing machine down at the chemist's, Dame Elder. Why don't we take it down there? There's heaps of plastic carrier bags out in the kitchen drawer.
It's like living in an asylum, it really is.
Well, what do you suggest we do then, Evadne?
I suggest you accept my word that Coleman left 20 bags.
Oh, look, Dame Elder, he's back.
Oh, and what can he want, I wonder? Yeah?
Pardon me, did any of you ladies happen to notice how many bags I dropped off here just now?
Why should we have done?
I just thought perhaps you might have. Seeing as all three of you stood at the window counting.
Well, seeing that you've realized, and granting that it could have been an oversight, we'll say nothing further about it. We don't want to make a fuss.
I shall jolly well think you don't. You'd have been doing all right out of it if I hadn't come back, wouldn't you?
The man talking about.
I told you he was funny, Doctor. I don't think he's quite all there.
Now, just a minute. I dropped 21 bags of coal off here just now.
You dropped 20.
He dropped 19.
Well, I know my opinion don't count for much, but I only saw 16.
Maud, you are not helping there.
Does she ever?
I don't know why you don't get shot of her.
When we want your opinion, we'll ask for it. Now, what do you intend to do about our bag of coal?
Well, you just listen to me. Look, when I set out this morning, I had 80 bags on that wagon. I dropped 20 off at number 2, 10 off at number 11, 5 at number 23, another 5 at 31, your lot here, and when I got to the last drop after you, I'd only got 19 on. Now, I should have had 20.
And what makes you think you've got the missing one here?
Because this is the only house in the entire road where I was throwing it to total confusion. Everybody's shouting at me. You dropped a lump here. You dropped a lump there. Watch where you're walking. Mind the snowdrops. Break the ice in the bird bath while you're passing. Blimey, you've even confused yourselves.
There's no need to get hysterical.
He was just as excitable this morning, Dame Elder, when I asked him for nice, clean lumps.
Well, there is a very simple way out of this dilemma. Now, Coleman, you must have a lot of empty bags on your cart at the moment.
What if I had?
Well, I suggest you pop out and fetch a pile in, and we'll take them into our coal shed and see how many you can fill. And I'll lay a powerful penny it'll only be 19.
I am doing no such thing. And furthermore, I am not moving my coal cart out of your drive until I get my bag back.
I tell you what, right there. Why don't we pop out and buy an electric fire? Then he can take all his bags back.
That was the Coleman Cometh, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Brackett, written by Gerald Prowe. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, we welcome Jean Haywood as Maud and Larry Martin as the Coleman. Our thanks also to the members of the Stacton Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by John Fawcett Wilson. ¶¶